Well, by an interesting coincidence, I would say actually Providence, the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, falls on a Sunday this year. And the readings at Catholic Liturgy for that Sunday have to do with forgiveness. And it gives us a good opportunity, I think, to reflect on what forgiveness is and what it's not. Let's go back to that day, which I know we all remember. I was at my computer about 9 o'clock in the morning, and a friend called me and said, a plane just flew into one of the World Trade Center towers. And my first thought was some little plane that had lost its way, like the one, I think, back in the 30s that flew into the Empire State Building. I thought, how peculiar. So I went up to my room, turned the TV on, and saw what actually had happened. My first thought was, not that the building's going to come down. It was, how will they ever get that fire out so far up, you know? I then crossed the campus to teach a class, and when I got there, the students were all huddled around a TV. There was a TV in the room. And then we watched the second tower hit. We watched as the towers came down. And I remember I didn't really know what I was seeing because I had no frame of reference. I was so unexpected. I was reminded of those accounts, they say, of the native peoples in the New World when the Spanish ships first arrived. They didn't really see them because they had no frame of reference for what these things were. That was my experience watching the towers come down. I remember then for about 45 minutes, the class and I just did some kind of theological reflection on what happened and what this meant. And I remember one of the students saying, the world has just gotten 10,000 times worse. And that struck me as pretty much right. Osama bin Laden and those terrible men who hijacked the planes not only killed 3,000 innocent people, but they also haunted and terrified the whole planet. And that's true to this day, isn't it? We all feel it in our bones. We all know it when we go to airports and we have to go through these, you know, body searches and take our shoes off and all that. I mean, they permanently changed in a negative way the psyche of the world. That, I think, maybe is the worst thing that those wicked people did. Now, here's the first question. Are we justified in being angry about this? The answer, it seems to me, is absolutely. The answer is yes. Thomas Aquinas said that anger is the legitimate response to injustice. So when injustice has been done, the right response to that is anger. So, was Martin Luther King angry at racial inequality and injustice in our country? Yes. It's what drove all his sermons, all his great speeches, all his marches, all his activity, was a kind of profound anger at this injustice. Was Gandhi angry at British imperialism and its attendant injustices? Yes. And it drove all his writing, all of his activity, all of his marches and protests, up to his death. Gandhi was driven by a profound anger at injustice. Was John Paul II angry at communist oppression, especially in his native Poland? Yes, it seems to me. I mean, read his writings, read his letters, listen to his speeches, watch what he did when he went there. It was driven by a very legitimate anger at injustice. Okay. You might say anger is a passion to set things right, which is why the Bible can speak of God's anger. We don't cover that up. The Bible speaks over and over again of God's legitimate anger. It doesn't mean God has fallen into an emotional snit. It means God burns with a passion to set things right. So anger, in that sense, is justified. It's what's called for in the presence of great injustice. However, Thomas Aquinas and the rest of our tradition also talks about the deadly sin of anger. Anger is one of the seven deadly sins. But what is that? Thomas says it's an irrational or unbalanced quest for vengeance. So an injustice has been done. Some wrong has happened. I'm now possessed by an irrational desire for vengeance. That's the deadly sin of anger. Let me try to specify a little bit. Go back to those examples I gave earlier, those three figures. Martin Luther King did not want to destroy white America. He wanted to redeem white America. he wanted to bring a white racist, let's say, into the beautiful community. He wanted to draw them back into right relationship. Did Gandhi want to destroy the British? No, he said over and over again, I want the British to leave as our friends. That's why he practiced nonviolence, as King did too. He didn't want to destroy his enemy, he wanted to redeem the enemy. Did John Paul II want to kill Polish communists? No, he wanted to redeem them. He wanted to draw them back into right order. In other words, their anger, legitimate anger, was tethered to love. Now, what's love? Not a feeling, not a passion. Love is an act of the will. It's to will the good of the other as other. Therefore, even in their anger, King and Gandhi and John Paul II were loving their enemies. They wanted to draw them back in. And that's why their legitimate anger did not devolve into the deadly sin of anger. That, I think, is a very important distinction to make whenever we're in the presence of a great wrong or a great injustice. We catch this in the book of Sirach, which actually a passage from which is the reading for September 11th in the Catholic liturgy. The author of the book of Sirach says that wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. It's a great image, I think, because think of now the deadly sin of anger. We sinners do cling to our anger. Why? Not as an expression of love, but as an expression of moral superiority. Do you remember what he did to me? Do you remember what she said to me? And I cling to my resentment. Now, let's grant for sake of argument, it really was something unjust. It really was something wrong. But now I'm not trying to move through that to a better place. I'm hugging it to myself so that I can say over and over again to myself and others, look how I was wronged. Look how I was hurt. It's an attempt to elevate the ego above others. That's a good example of the deadly sin of anger, anger that's untethered to love. Now, here's where forgiveness comes in, I think. What is forgiveness? It is not a willful ignorance. Oh, forgive and forget. Just forget about September 11th. No. In fact, authentic forgiveness depends upon a keen sense of injustice. You got to forgive something after all, right? So you're keenly aware of it. Forgiveness is not that, not a blindness to it. Forgiveness is a willingness actively to draw the one who's hurt you back into community. It's not enough simply to say, all right, you hurt me, but I'm going to get over that. That's not forgiveness yet. You hurt me, but I'm just going to forget about it. That isn't forgiveness. Forgiveness is, now I'm going actively to draw you back into community with me and with the larger community. I'm going to try as best I can to solve this problem. One way to get at it is this. Whenever you're wronged in any way, to say to the person who wrongs you, this is our problem. Now, mind you, I'm not suggesting thereby that I'm soft on evil or blame the victim. I'm not playing that game at all. But I am saying, if I've been wronged, it's still our problem that together we should strive to solve. I will do what I can to draw you back into the loving community. Again, think of King or John Paul II. That's what they were doing. Is King was saying, racial injustice in America is our problem, not just your problem. King or John Paul II was saying, communist oppression, in some sense, is our problem. We have to deal with it together. That, it seems to me, is the move of forgiveness, which is why I think it is so central to the teaching of Jesus. We pray for it every day in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then in the wonderful gospel, which happens again to be the gospel for September 11th, Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother who's wronged me? As many as 7 times? And Jesus famously says, not 7 times, but I tell you, 70 times 7 times, which is an Aramaicism, a Semiticism for over and over and over again, always, always, always forgive. Does it mean never be angry? No. Be angry at injustice as God is. Does it mean blindness to human sin? No, on the contrary. But it does mean the willingness to tether our anger always to love, to situate our anger in the context of love. That, it seems to me, is the deepest meaning of forgiveness and an important lesson to meditate upon on the 10th anniversary of September 11th.